Because Sam's here, we'll say Mark chapter number 10 is where we'll start from. But Mark chapter 10, thank you, Miss Debbie, for coming. It's a haul down the road. I appreciate it. And we just wish you'd pack up and come all the time. Man, we like you around here. We sure do. She pulled up. Did you pull up and get groceries out of that van?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, I like that. I like that. She pulled up over and got groceries out. I like it. You didn't have to do that, but I appreciate it. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 says this. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I don't want to get ahead of myself at church. That's exactly what I did the night I got born again. I begged God for mercy. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Boy, I like this. I really, really like this. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Zach, if you will, pray for us, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be at the house of God today. Dear God, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for your mercy, your grace. We thank you for all the things that you've done. We thank you for your blessings, dear God. We thank you for bringing these people here safely. God, I pray today, dear Lord, that you would bless the preacher as he preaches. Dear God, that he would say something, Lord, that we might be able to get help. Dear God, I know there's people in here that need your help, and I need your help. My family needs your help. Dear God, we need you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, God, that you would touch us. God, help our homes to be godly homes. Dear God, I pray that you would touch sinners' hearts. Dear God, that you'd open the blinded mind. The God of this world is blind of the mind of them which believe not. God, I pray, dear God, that you would enlighten them, that they'd see the truth.
Jesus.
God, that they might be saved. God, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I want my congregation to understand that I'm not up here by choice. I'm up here by blackmail. And Brother Asquith comes to town. I'm honest. I want him to preach. And I know y'all want him to preach. But he just kind of twisted my arm into this thing. And I was obliged. I really was. But so y'all just bear with me. And we'll get through this and then get into the second service. And I look forward, Brother Asquith, to what you got to say. And Big John or no Big John, I'm just glad you're in town. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that all of you is here. We see here in Mark chapter 10 is Mark's gospel account of blind Bartimaeus. And if you look at this man's life, you'll understand that he was just a desperate and a helpless case. And I know that I'm shallow, but that's just what I am, okay? I look at things sometimes just as simple as they can because I'm just simple as I can be. That's all. I'm not a very bright man. I thought when Brother Asquith got done, I had to come up here and put my oxygen tank and my flippers and all that back under the pulpit because I'm not that deep. He is. I want you to understand that this man's life was just a desperate life. It was a helpless case, but what seems to be impossible with man is very possible and easy with God because with Jesus Christ, we know that all things are possible. If you look at the fellow's name, just his name along, and I read scriptures and read verses, and you can read verses all your life, and then all of a sudden one day you can be reading your Bible, and And something will jump out of that verse and a question will rise up in your mind. And for the first time, you got a new question about this verse that you've read 1,000 times. And I looked at this guy, that name Bartimaeus stuck out to me. And I got to thinking about the Bartholomew's, just the bars in the Bible. And so just through a little bit of study, and I found out that the word bar means son of. That's all it means, son of. And if you read the passage, it says, and blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. So he was the, Bartimaeus was the son of Timaeus. So what does that mean, preacher? He didn't even have a name. He was just the son of Timaeus. Amen. So what does that mean? Well, I'm just glad God's interested in nobody's, you hear me? I'm glad we've got a God. He don't care who you are, where you come from. That God is interested in a bunch of nobodies and just a bunch of little folks. That God's willing to meet with anybody that's wanting to meet with Him. Amen.
Amen.
I like that. You don't have to be a big shot. You don't have to be have the right figure. You don't have to have the right bank account. All you got to do is have the right heart toward God. And God will smile at you and He wants to meet with you. I'm glad that He meets with nobody. See, if He didn't, He would never met with me.
That's right.
Man. You realize today that there's people sitting in here, that's sitting in this world, that's sitting in churches all over America that are on their way to hell, but they're just tagged by who their dad is. I mean, there's people that's going to hell because they're relying on who their daddy is. And there's people that's going to hell because they're ashamed of maybe who their dad is. That's right. I mean, it's a sad day that we're living in. I had a guy, just the reason I say that, because just in the last month, Brother Asquith, I had a guy look at me. He wasn't nothing but an old junkie, and he looked at me and he said, Dave, he said, I guess the only thing I ever got from my dad was my old bad habits of being a junkie. He said, my dad passed dope on to me, and I am what I am because my dad is what he was. And you know what I said? I said, I'll tell you the same thing I told him. There ain't never been a bigger light hatched out of hell than for the devil to tell you that because of your mama or your daddy or your past or some circumstance in your life, you're not fit to save. You're not fit to know him. I'm telling you, we serve a God. He don't care who your daddy is. He don't care where you came from. He don't care what all you've been involved in. If you'll come before Him, He'll come to you and He'll meet with you and He'll save your soul today. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Bunch of junk the devil tells people, hey man, you're going to go to hell. There's no hope for you. There's no chance. Your family's lost. Your family's a bunch of scums. You might as well give up, bud. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that defies that theology. He said, if you'll come unto me, I'll save you today. That's right, if you'll just come. Well, you can be more today than a conqueror in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right, you can be more than a conqueror. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can come under the mighty hand of God and be delivered from whatever the devil might haunt you with. That's right. Are you listening? I said the devil wants to haunt you. He wants to hang stuff over your head. He wants to remind you of junk in the past. He wants to remind you of stuff that you've done. He wants to remind you of some junk your family done. He wants to remind you of some stuff you might have just done. I'm telling you, God said, I'll take it all away. Amen. I like old Brother Lester Roloff. I kind of like them old songs that he sings. And boy, I'm glad, Brother Zach, that I heard as a little boy that the blood can go deeper than the stains have gone.
Hey.
I'm glad, thank God, there's been some old regrets and there's been some guilt and shame in my life. But when I met the Savior, thank God, I'm glad that His precious blood was able to reach deeper than my stains had gone. Amen. Right. I'm just saying, I don't care who you are or where you've been, there's a very present help that's able to deliver you in even the most helpless case. Even the most helpless and desperate life has a blessed hope in Lord Jesus Christ. I never really thought much about this old boy until this week. And I'm saying all I ever did when I read his stories, I just thought about what Jesus had done for him. And I never put a whole lot into who he really was, but I got to looking at him this week in a different way, and I got to thinking, man, Bartimaeus was Timaeus' son. He was somebody's son. That's right, he was some dad's little boy. It made me think a little bit more about that, because I got three of them. I like to rejoice about what Jesus did for Bartimaeus. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody in this building needs to know about your past.
That's right.
Nobody needs to know about your past. I tell you what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in what you did yesterday. I'm interested in your relationship with God's Son today. You hear me? Can I tell you what I found out God's interested in? God's interested in your relationship with His Son today. He wants to know what you're going to do with Jesus today. What will thou have Jesus to do for you? Hey, listen, where are you standing with God Almighty today? I'm not concerned about yesterday. I'm not trying to compromise and sweep things under the rug. I'm just trying to tell you there's a God sitting on the throne in heaven that can take your yesterdays and wipe them all away, and you can be made new in the Lord Jesus Christ today. I don't care about the labels that people's put on you, because people will put labels on you. I don't care about that stuff. But I do care to know, Miss Debbie, have we passed from death unto life? Huh? Have you been made a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ? Church, that's all that matters. You better put everything else behind you. You better put all them thoughts behind you. You need to put all them ideas and theories and all that little philosophy. Put all them lies behind you. And look unto Jesus, the author and finisher. Right, just look to Him today. I'm telling you, saved, lost, or everything in between. Dear God, if we would just look to Jesus, I'm telling you, I think we'd end up in the right place if we kept our eyes on Him. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Help us, ladies and gentlemen, to walk in the right way. When you stand before the judge, you think the Lord Jesus Christ standing there at that bema seat is going to deal with you according to your reputation? You think He's going to deal with you according to your family, what your family was? I mean, how many drunks you had in your family? How many criminals? How many crooks? All the sinners? No, friend. I'm going to tell you, when you stand before Him, He's going to be interested in what you did with the finished work of Calvary. That's right. He's going to be interested in the faith that you put in His, in Himself. He's going to be interested in what you did as far as your salvation goes. Care about all that stuff. It's amazing how many strongholds and how many people's bound up with where they come from and what they've been through and what people think about them and what people's going to think about them. Hey, fooey on that junk. Amen. Get rid of that stuff. Who cares? Who cares what somebody thinks? Who cares about the reputation? Who cares? I'm going to tell you what matters is what Jesus thinks. It's all that matters. Blind Bartimaeus may not have been a nobody. Amen. When they put him over on the side of the highway and he was just begging, they said, hey man, just be quiet. He wasn't nobody. Do you hear me? They wasn't looking for old blind Bartimaeus how to do anything special for him. But I tell you something, there was a God in heaven that said, I'm interested in him. Yeah. There's a God in heaven. Say, man, hey, when nobody else would take time for Bartimaeus, Jesus took time for Bartimaeus. Man. Glad Jesus took time for me, ain't you?
Amen.
So I am glad He took time for me. In the Bible, being blind implies a few things. It implies being lost first and foremost. You understand? The Bible, when it talks about being blind, it refers, it's implying that a man is lost and without God. Being blind means that you cannot see the love that your parents has for you. How about that? What? How about children when moms and dads love them and they're blind and can't even see the love of a mama and a daddy? I'm going to tell you why they hurt them so much. Because they're blind. They can't see. They don't understand. There's a blindness there. They can't see it. They can't understand the love of a church. Can't understand the burden. They can't see that. Being blind means that you cannot understand that the church has a love for you. Being blind means that you cannot see the exceeding sinfulness of your sin, right? You cannot see how wretched you are. I want to say this, and I'm very careful about saying this, but there's some good people sitting up in here, Miss Stephanie. I mean, there's some pretty good people sitting up in here, saved and lost, some pretty decent, let me say it like that, some pretty decent people. But Brother Asquith, I found out a long time ago that You know, I am what I am by the grace of God, and that is it and it alone. I promise you, I could have been raised in a crack horse house, and I probably would have been a crackhead. Do you understand that? If Jesus hadn't passed by. If Jesus hadn't passed by. You understand what I'm trying to say, Miss Debbie? I can't look down my nose on any junkie. I can't look down my nose on any sinner. Because if it had not been for the grace of God, I'm just as wretched and rotten. Do you hear me? You may never smell a cigarette. You may never even look toward a Budweiser, but you're just as rotten in your heart as those can do outside the grace of God.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Well, I tell you what's hard for us to see. It's hard for us to see that.
Yeah.
Hard for us to see that we're just as wretched sometimes as that old boy laying in the gutter. Did you ever get them scales taken off your eyes? I promise you, you'll be able to see. Sure, being blind means that you cannot see the desperation of your life. Being blind means you cannot see how holy God is and how right the Bible is. That's why folks can just nonchalantly receive the Word of God. That's why they can just be in another world when the Word of God is being proclaimed. God help us. Being blind means that you do not understand how hot hell is and how close you are to it. Right? I'm telling you, friend, all a blind sinner can see is what they want in this old life. All a blind sinner can see is what they want and what they can get out of life and how this old thing can please them. You know what will happen when the scales are taken off of your eyes? You'll start taking care of others. Are you listening? When these scales are removed off your eyes, you'll get that burden like Jesus had. And Jesus was all about others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind did he have? He never came to take care of himself. He didn't build him a big house and buy a fancy ride. He came to meet the need of others and others. And when them scales are removed off our blind eyes, we'll start seeing the need of others, right? I'm going to tell you why America's lottery lines are so full. Because people are blind and wretched and miserable. And they don't see the need of others. I mean, while we're living in our nice communities and we're buying our lottery tickets and spending money on everything in this whole world, I'm telling you, there's people around us that's suffering, that's struggling, that's hurting, that needs our help. And if we would ever get the eyesight of God, it would help us to see the need of others. Right? You know how many parents I've seen carry a burden for the children and spend hours of prayer time over their soul, and their children just want to be left alone? You know how many times, Zach, I've seen moms and dads really love their children, and just sometimes, I mean, maybe, you know, just because they love them so much and they got such a burden, they just constantly just stay home and say, and I'm so glad, thank God, for a mama and a daddy that stays on their children. You hear me? I like, thank God, consistence. I like persistence. I like, thank God, people that never give up, never let up, never give in, never give. I like it, thank God. Stay on them. Stay on them. Stay on your children all the time. You know why the kids just always did just leave me alone? I raised three. Sometimes their attitude is just leave me alone. I've had young men to look at me, Brother Asper, and say, are you trying to scare me? And I thought, and I said, oh, I would to God I could scare you. I'm not trying to scare you, you little fella. I'm trying to spare you. Do you understand? That was my response. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to spare you. I want to spare you a life of misery. I want you to not have to live a life of degradation and desperation. I want you to live a life of abundant joy and peace and contentment in the Lord Jesus. I'm trying to scare nobody. But I tell you right now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to be scared. You ought to be scared. You ought to fear for your soul, friend. So God in heaven is angry with the wicked every day. It's not a good thing to shut God off. I've seen it. Why? Why do so many people just want to be left? Because they're blind. Don't really see their need for what's being said. God said, Jesus said in the book of Revelation, he said that you're blind and you need the eye salve. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the reasons why I emphasize this book That book, thank God, is everything to me.
That's right.
That word is everything, Miss Stephanie. My wife's sitting over here. She knows I'm not a phony about it. She knows I'm not coming in here telling lies. She knows that we get up early in the morning to go sit with Jesus. And I mean, they just wants here and there. It's just thank God every morning. He just wakes us up. We get to go sit at his feet and just glean from the word and say, well, I'm talking about this book is everything. He said, when you're blind, the only thing that can take care of your blindness is the eyesight of God. It's the precious word of God. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. I'm telling you, church, it's everything in this world to me. Get to that book. Get that book. He said, it ain't just the eye salve. He said, but for those of you that's wounded, this whole world's going to kick you. You're laying over in a ditch somewhere. You're on the highway side like old blind Bartimaeus. I got news for you. There's a bomb in Gilead. I mean, friend, I'm telling you, I found the bomb of Gilead one morning. Hey, glory to God. I'm glad that in my place I found the bomb of Gilead. I'm glad that when you're hurt and wounded, I'm glad that when you're beat up, that the word of God will take care of you.
Amen.
Sure, it's everything. To everything, you take the word of God out of my home. You've destroyed my home. You take the word of God out of my life. You've destroyed my life. It's everything to me. Sure. I know it's simple, but I just love to look in that book and every once in a while I see something like Bartimaeus. I'm glad he was a nobody. And according to the scriptures, I know we've heard it. He wasn't headed nowhere but to the highway side begging. Thank God Jesus made a difference. That's right. Jesus made a difference. Verse number 47 in our text says that when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Now blind Bartimaeus was over there by the highway side, and the Bible said that he had heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming. Can't help but to think it wasn't the first time he ever heard of Jesus of Nazareth. You can go all the way back to the beginning of this book and you can see the Bible talks about two blind men. Bartimaeus had him a partner over at one time. And I know I've heard and you've heard preachers talk about it, and the Bible never did even mention that old boy's name. Finally, give Bartimaeus, he was the son of his daddy. But the other guy, he didn't have a name either. And I've heard preachers talk about, man, that just represents every lost sinner on planet Earth. Hey, you could take that other guy that was sitting over there and just put your name right there, because that's where we was at before God found us. But I'm convinced that Bartimaeus had heard quite a bit about this man, Jesus, just sitting over on the highway side. I guess people passing by on that road every once in a while would testify about the Lord Jesus, huh? I mean, we know about the account on the road to Emmaus. I would imagine down there about where he was sitting, there was people coming by going, man, and Jesus was over there. By the time he was sitting there, somebody said, and Jesus was over there. And would you know it, that he healed some people? Miss Stephanie, I got to thinking about why, how did he know about it? How did he know about Jesus Christ? I would think, first of all, because Brother Asmodee was a fellow over in Gadara by the name they call a maniac. Woo! Well, oh, thank God Bartimaeus heard about this maniac living over there in the tombs. And I imagine about everybody knew about this old boy. And the Bible at one point said there was two of them running in and out over there. But I'm telling you, this maniac, Jesus, got on the ship, come to the other side of the sea. And I mean, it was a miracle in what he did crossing that sea. I mean, that alone was enough to get spread throughout the country. When he got off that ship there, that old maniac met him. And I got to thinking about that, man. I got to think the Bible don't say, but you know, there once again, that maniac had a mom and a daddy. Huh? It's easy sometimes to forget these people are human beings, and you know what? He might have had a mama over there that was just tore all to pieces, that her son was in such a condition. I know a lot of mamas like that. I know a lot of moms that carry a burden for the children and their children. Hey, listen, because you ain't running around scratching yourself, don't you think you better than this old boy? You know what I found out? Where's my boy, Stephen? Come on up here, Stephen. You know what I found out? The Bible says about him and Stephanie. Stand right there, buddy. That's good, just to be a fixture up in here. The Bible said they'd run around naked. In and out of them tombs. Cutting himself. The Bible said that they would try to bind him with fetters and chains, and he would break them fetters and chains, and no man could bind him. I got to thinking about that boy this week, Stephen. And church, here's what I got to thinking. Isn't it amazing that we can take our clothes off and think we're okay? We look at that old boy and go, he's devil possessed. Can I tell you one of the signs of a person devil possessed? They start wanting to show their bodies.
That's right.
That's good, son. You can go. Here. Give that to one of them girls. They lost it. Preacher, what are you talking about? You ever get them scales taken off your eyes, you can see the necessity of looking right, sounding right, talking right.
Yes, sir.
Living right. Amen. Amen. I tell you who I'm representing today. I'm representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the greatest of all time. Do you understand? I'm a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want my life to be pleasing to Him. I don't want to bring a reproach on His name. I'm a representative of this church. I don't want to bring a reproach on this church. I want to carry myself right, Miss Stephanie. Ain't what I'm preaching about, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. No man could tame him. I remember when I was a younger fella and I had all my kids, I didn't let them say bad words to each other. I mean, they could go out in the yard and beat each other half to death, but we didn't call each other faggots and, you know, stuff. We didn't just, no. No, we're not going to do that. Didn't call bad names. And so, you want to fight? I sort of like my mama. You want to fight? Go outside and kill each other. Don't mess up the house. Y'all took heed to that. Brother, that's what them old boys trying to slick me. They tried to lay down a bun on their day. And they come up with this thing called opposite day, church. Opposite day. They slicked old dad. They had opposite day. So everything they said, it actually was the opposite. So they would say stuff like riding down the road, Dad, you sure are smart. What? It was opposite day. I didn't even know it was opposite day. I'm, Dad, you sure are smart. And I'm going, man, my boy's proud of me. Mom, you sure are mean today. Opposite day. You sure do treat that dad good. I'm sorry, baby. They would say stuff, you know, real positive about each other. I love my brothers. I said, well, man, I've done a good job. I've done a good job. I taught my boys how to love each other in the midst of it all. Little did I know, they were having opposite day. But I caught on. I'm a little slow. But finally, they're so dumb, I caught on. And so I would say stuff like, oh, Zach, you're such a good boy. You're not going to get a whipping today. I can play too. Hey, boys, guess what? Nobody's getting a whipping. I have a tendency to think this maniac of Gadara knew something about opposite day. Because there was a time in this old boy's life when everybody in that town ran from him. They seen him coming and they turned and went the other way. They couldn't do nothing with him. Miss David, they gave up with him. Let him stay out there in the graveyard, running in and out in caves, cutting himself like a maniac would do. But then all of a sudden, opposite day kicked in, and this man Jesus come walking up on the shores. He said, son, everybody might run from you. I come to help you today. Ladies and gentlemen, I can only imagine that that thing was noised abroad throughout that land. Hey, did y'all hear about that maniac? And people got to walking down the highway. Well, man, I'm telling you, I never seen nothing like it. That old boy, there sat blind Bartimaeus. That old boy used to run around cutting himself. There he was in the house of God today with his clothes on. In his right mind, enjoying the word of God. And Bartimaeus just kind of said, huh? What do you mean? Woman with the issue of blood sitting over there. Done went to all of her friends, done went to all the doctors, done psychiatrists couldn't help her, doctors couldn't help her, friends couldn't help her, money couldn't help her, nothing in this world could help her. But Jesus passed by. That little gal touched the hem of his garment, she was made whole. Can't you imagine blind Bartimaeus sitting over there? Sitting over there by the wayside, and then people going, hey man, did you see that old gal? Said, man, she should have been killed. She should have been put to death. She shouldn't even have been in that crowd. I mean, she was plagued with that issue. I mean, but she was doomed. But she touched the hem of his garment, and she was cured just like that.
Amen.
Little fella, go back a little bit further down the road. Little fella over there by the name of Zacchaeus, he had heard that Jesus was coming by. And Zacchaeus done heard all these other things too. Why was that crook looking for Jesus? He had heard of all the great things the Lord had done. And the Bible says that he wanted to see the Lord, but he could not see him because of the crowd. And so what Zacchaeus done, the Bible said that he run ahead of the crowd. Why did he run ahead of the crowd? He was just a little short fella and couldn't see over that crowd. So the Bible says that he ran and climbed up in a sycamore tree. We was up there in Black Creek and we went down there to Belfast to the Bare Knuckle Boxing Hall of Fame. Thought about it. Zach and that old boy had them pictures over there in that boxing ring. And them men fighting 75 rounds, bare knuckle. You win. I'm going to kiss my wife. You win. 75 rounds. I don't care who you are. You can have it. That old boy showed us two pictures, Tim, if y'all remember it. Out there in Mississippi when they finally snuck that fight because it was illegal. They got it down there in Mississippi and there was thousands of people that knew about it. And they got that thing down there and one picture showed them setting that thing up and it was out in the woods. There was trees everywhere. Then he showed us a picture beside of it, the same place, no trees. And they cut every one of the trees down. He said, you know why they cut the trees down, don't you? We said, why? Maybe because they wanted some pulpwood. The fact we're poor. They cut the pulpwood. They was going to pay for some. No. They said what people would do is they would come and climb them trees instead of buying tickets. They would climb them trees and get to watch the fight for free. So instead of doing that, they could sell more tickets. If they cut them trees down, nobody could sit up there and get a free shot. You know what I'm trying to say, Miss Stephanie? I believe God put that sycamore tree out there. It was an opportunity for Zacchaeus to see the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And I believe there were so many people pressing around the Lord and Zacchaeus had the wisdom to run ahead of that crowd. Everybody else would have been climbing up in that tree. Zacchaeus probably still wouldn't have an opportunity to get to see the Lord. You know what I'm trying to say? If you have an opportunity to do something with God, don't waste that opportunity.
Amen.
If God deals with you, hey, listen. I'm not that preacher, but if God deals with you, I don't care if it's today, if it's tomorrow, if it's the next day, if God deals with you, you respond to God.
That's right.
I didn't say that you had to make a profession of faith. You deal with God on the basis in which He's dealing with you. God may try to get you one step closer. He may be bringing you through that canal one more inch. He may be bringing you to one more place. And before He brings you out, I'm telling you, if you've got an opportunity to meet with God, you better meet with God when you've got a chance to meet with Him. Well, Asketh, I'm not sure. The Bible don't say. I mean, you might know. I don't know. But I didn't see another tree around. I don't know when Zacchaeus' next opportunity was going to come.
Amen.
Are you listening? It didn't mention nothing but that one sycamore tree. There may not have been another tree that he could climb nowhere inside. It might have been another year before he could have met with Jesus. I don't know. But I'm telling you today that if Jesus deals with you, you better respond to him in like manner. Right. Listen, I just want to say something real to you. I try to be sensitive sometimes and listen for the voice of God. Don't say the wrong thing and say the right thing. Brother Asquith, I've been in many a good church services where the conviction of God has failed in people's lives. God has worked in their heart. Convict them. They begin to pull the scale away, and little by little they begin to see the light, and little by little they begin to see where they stand with God, and little by little that conviction sets in because God's beginning to reveal things to them. Right. And it may not be an instant snatching the scale off, but God might little by little just start pulling that scale off, and just little by little getting things out of our life, and starting to work things in our life. And be confident of this, that He which begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to say, you better respond. You better deal with Him accordingly. I've been in them services and I've seen conviction fall. And I've seen people leave and go have fellowship and shake their conviction. I've seen people leave the service and go out to eat with a preacher or with the evangelist, with whoever, with a group of people, with church members, and go out there. And I've seen people put money in the offering plate. And I've seen people pad a preacher's pockets because the conviction was on. Hey, listen, friend, that's no way to deal with your conviction. You forget that junk and deal with God. Lay prostrate before a holy God and ask one more time, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Quit drinking beer long before I ever got saved.
Amen.
I repented. Quit drinking beer long before I ever got saved. You know why? Because God dealt with me before I got saved on that sin in my life. Before I even got saved, God started working on things in my life, church. I'm telling you, little by little, God started nipping and taking things out. And boy, I'm telling you, when I was able to come to where He was at that night, thank God I didn't have to work through a bunch of junk. I was able to follow my face before Him and find mercy. Right. Thank God. That's just what happened to me. You know what I like about that old boy over in John chapter 9? I love him. I love John 9. And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man that was blind from his birth. You know what I like about that? That was me. That was me. When I seen that a long, long, long time ago, as a young babe in Christ, I read John 9:1, and I said, oh God, that was me. When you passed by, I was blinded from my birth. Thank God Jesus touched my blinded eyes and made me see. You know what happened to me? I honest before God, when I was a young boy, I grew up under good preaching this day. I got the best of the best. Man, I got to grow up listening to Walter Green every day on the radio. I mean, just a boy stealing and cutting and doing everything mean in the world that a 4 and 5 year old boy do. I had to sit down every day and listen to that old man of God preach. Oh, boy, I'm so glad. Thank God I got to grow up under old Lester Roloff. I got to listen to Harold Sadler. I got to listen to Sammy Allen. I grew up underneath old Don Green. Just the greatest preachers that I thought they ever did live. Good men. But one day I was there, and boy, I got stirred up because religion had told me this, Michael. Religion said, boy, you need a time and a place. And I knew I never had a time and a place. And it seemed like to me that the church, the preachers, that the religion was putting an emphasis, Sam, on a time and a place. A time and a place. You better have you a time and a place. You know what I did? I ran in there 10 minutes to 11 on July 6, 1981. And I marked me a spot on my floor in my bedroom. Listen, don't shout. I got me a time and I got me a place. I jumped up, put an X on that spot, looked at the watch, wrote it down, July 6, 1981, 10 minutes to 11. I got me a time and place. Son, I didn't know nothing about sin until after I got me a time and a place. I got me a time and a place, and I got me a joint. I'm not trying to blow that up. I don't even like saying that. I'm just trying to let you understand that, hey man, time and a place had the answer. I got me a time and I got me a place. And I could tell everybody the time. I could stand up in the best camp meeting in the country. Wow, got me a time and a place. All I had was a profession.
Yeah.
I was 20 years old. I promise you, church, I've said it a million times, and I'll probably say it a million more if God lets me live. I can't take you to a place. I can take you to a vicinity. I know somewhere where it was near. You know that man laying over there pulling the fastest out. I was sitting in church one night. I didn't realize, but I sat right in the lap of the Holy Ghost that night. But that man at the fence laying over there, waiting for the water to be troubled. And I mean, there was a lot of people around that pool, but only one got to get in. I sit up there in that church that night instead. And I said, oh God, the waters was troubled. I said, oh God, let me get in. Oh, I want God to let me get in. God, would you come to where I'm at? Would you have me in that water? Would you have me, God? Would you help me? So I was laying at that pool of Bethesda. Listen to me, church. I'm trying to hurry. I did not need a fancy invitation. I did not need my arm twisted. I did not need one song on the piano. I did not need one ghost story. I didn't need one blue-eyed, blonde-haired, beautiful little girl story. Hey, bad ugly people need Jesus too. So sick and tired of this junk. All I needed, Mr. Debbie, was everybody to shut up and get out of my way because I needed to get to Jesus. I didn't need an invitation. Just get out of my way. Man, I'm laying over here just pulling Bethesda and the water's troubled. Get out of my way. I don't need nobody to get in the way. I need to get to Jesus. Hey, listen, it had to be God. I know it sounds funny, but I'm telling you, it had to be God. Because when I went home that night, I didn't go to deal with Jesus at church. I didn't want a bunch of religion. I didn't have that. I had me a time and place. And so my wife, I said, baby, go to the store and get some. I don't remember what it was. I just wanted her gone. And that wasn't enough for the last one. I left the house, the apartment, went out there in the woods. And I promise you, under God, church, if God hadn't been on me, I'd have never went out in the woods that night for two reasons. Too many boogeymen and too many snakes. I ain't going out in the woods at night. I don't even like walking across my yard at night. Never even thought about a snake. All I thought about was dying and going to hell and needing the Lord Jesus Christ and wanting to be born again, wanting to have that relationship with Jesus, wanting to get in that pool is what I was thinking. I don't have a clue what time it was. I don't know what date it was. I know I was 20 years old. I can go back and find a year. I guess I could look through the documents of that church and find out when that meeting was. But I don't know what tree it was, ladies and gentlemen. But I know I knelt down there in that tree. And I begged God to have mercy on my soul. And can I tell you, for the first time in my life, all things were passed away and all things were made new. Can I tell you, thank God, I didn't know what time it was. And I wasn't sure what tree I was hugged up on. But I know that my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know that I passed from death unto life. I knew that I was made new in Jesus. I knew that God saved me that night. It's all. Thank God for that schoolmaster, huh? Thank God for that law of God that God puts in our heart. Thank God for the word of God that was preached into my life. Thank God for the truth being told where I could stand before God guilty, needing that daysman. Thank God for the great lawyer Jesus Christ just took my place and said, Lord, I'll take this case right here. Can I tell you something? He's never lost. Man, he'll turn losers. I'm not campaigning for Trump, bless God. He needs to know something about this. But he'll turn losers into winners. Hallelujah. He'll turn losers into winners. He'll turn a loser. You cannot lose with Jesus. You cannot lose with Christ. You cannot lose with Jesus. You can't help but win.
Amen.
You might be finding that fixing to find out something about losing anyhow. Let me ask you a question. Is somebody hindering you? Is somebody in your sycamore tree? That's a good question. I thought that would be a good question. Is somebody in your sycamore tree? Is somebody hindering you? Hey, is the thought of what somebody's done bothering you to the point where you can't get to Jesus? Is the thought of what something you've done to somebody maybe hindering you? Listen, friend, you better chuck that junk. You hear me, and run to Jesus. If Jesus deals for you, you better get to him. I tell you, man, I've never had anybody in my life that's ever done me wrong. They got saved. I never held a grudge against them. You hear me? I'm so glad. I rejoiced in the fact that they got saved. Sure. And Zacchaeus, he got that opportunity, friend, and he took it. He took it. Listen, you can look at all these cases in the Bible. If you look at them, and I like to look at them, you'll see that there's about three common deals that Jesus had to deal with all the time, cases. And he had to deal with devils quite a bit. And I said that a while ago because I want to say it again. We think because we're not running around and look like helter skelter that we're okay. But I'll tell you something, brother. When you start wanting to take your clothes off in public, you mark her down, friend. You've got some devil problems. Hey, man, you've got some problems. That's right. I want to see that junk, for God's heaven's sakes. We like it. Put it up. Jesus dealt with devils. Jesus dealt with diseases. My sin-sick soul is what he dealt with. Jesus had to deal with death all the time. Sure he did. It's not your Bible, the one that says, your King James Bible says, and you hath he quickened who are what? Dead in your trespasses and sins. You know what David said? David said, hey, y'all don't tell Jonathan. He said, but they but one step between me and death. Isn't that something?
Right.
One step between you and death. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about, but God ain't nothing to play with. I don't like scaring people. I don't like, that ain't my deal. That's not my point. But I promise you, friend, we ain't but one step from meeting God. We're not but one step away from slipping off into eternity. And I say, it's not a wise thing to mess around. If God deals, you better respond to God according to how he deals. What's your case? What's your case? What's Jesus seeing you today? I came to tell you, it really don't matter. Jesus Christ is the answer. He'll fix your case. Sure he will. He'll win it and he'll fix it. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed that the man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. And that's something Solomon said, that we fight to live. Ain't that something? We fight to live. Say, why do we fight to live? Solomon said, hey, listen, I just to confirm what Solomon said, you know how many people that's in a coma? They're not even conscious. You know what their body's doing? Their body's fighting to live. Solomon said we fight to live. You know why we have to fight to live? Because the Bible says death passed upon all men for all have sinned. So we fight death every day of our life. Listen, friend, you fight death every day. The Bible says it's appointed unto man wants to die. There's not but one person in this world that can deal with death like Jesus. He's the only one that can give you a proper death. That's right.
Amen.
That's right. The greatest thing I ever saw, brother, ask if I say that. Maybe, it, you know, I might have seen, but one of the greatest, I'll say that. One of the greatest things I've ever saw, church. I was living in Florida, just a young preacher. And we have an old deacon by the name of Brother Hill. You remember? Old Brother Hill. Good old man of God. Deacon, but man of God. Love God. We got down there about dead. Couldn't make it to the house of God. The pastor said, we're just going to take church to him. I said, amen. I want to be part of that. I want to be there at Brother Hill's. Went down there and watched that old deacon. And said, as we gathered around and we sung the songs of God.
Amen.
And the preacher began to preach and people began to testify. And old Brother Hill laying there on his deathbed, and I mean it was his deathbed, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you hear me? I'm not making this up. I seen that old man of God raise his hand up with a smile on his face and take his last breath. And
die.
Boy, I said, what a glorious sight. What is so glorious about that? Preacher, because I was a young preacher. I was in my 20s and I seen a man die with peace.
Oh,
I've seen that dying grace take effect in a real man's heart and life. And I've seen the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. That man was about to cross over. Thank God. And he threw that old hand up and put a smile on his face. And the tears was rolling down the sides of his head. And he gave up the ghost. And I said, thank God. I'm so glad as a young guy I got to see God real in somebody. Hey, listen, friend. That's what Jesus can do. I'm telling you, he can take the troubled waters of your soul and say, peace, be still. You can face death, thank God, with some confidence, knowing that you know that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a blessed peace, huh? What a blessed peace. Joy divine, thank God. Oh, Brother Hill. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 12 says, verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You know what he said? The blood of Jesus has something better to say than the blood of Abel. He said Abel's blood is crying out of the ground. I don't know if you've ever heard Abel's blood, but if you read your Bible, you can see that Abel's blood cried for vengeance. Abel's blood was demanding the blood of his brother. The blood of Abel was crying out. Cain killed Abel. He was crying out, Miss Stephanie, that the wrong be made right. Do you know what the blood of Jesus said? Oh, the blood of Jesus said forgiveness. The blood of Jesus said, I forgive. He said, hey, listen, the Bible said that mercy rejoiceth against judgment. I'm telling you, when the blood of Jesus was shed, it had a voice and it cried, I forgive, I forgive. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care who your family is. I don't care what you've been through. My blood is able to wash you and make you whiter than snow. Ah, boy, thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the precious blood. Final question. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you? That's a good question. Stop and say this to me, yourself. Have I been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Good question. Good question. Ask God to reveal it to you. Ask God to start peeling the scale off your eyes. Ask God to let the light of the glorious gospel reach down into the heart of each individual here today. I'm going to ask Miss Asquith and Miss Tanya if they will please come sing that old song, There Is a Fountain. Thank you, church. Thank you for your time and your patience.
Upon receipt of my mother's picture. His mother died when he was 5 or 6 years old. Came from a wealthy family in England. It was all hush-hush. They kept the little boy upstairs when his mother died. They told him all sorts of stories and that. It's a time where you didn't have photographs, you didn't have pictures, you didn't have anything of that sort. And years later, as an older man, an aunt sent him those little cameo pictures that somebody had drawn of his mother. He saw his mother's face for the first time in 30 years. It's a poem called Upon Receipt of My Mother's Picture. Yeah. The other thing he wrote was this here. He was a man given to depression most of his life. Wholly given over to depression. It ate him alive. But he found victory in Jesus Christ. It's the only place he ever found it. He just eat alive with just thoughts of inadequacy and depression and all that kind of stuff. But he left this testimony, this song. Can you imagine that? There is a fountain filled with that.
Amen.
Now, Brother Vernon, very sincere, when he asked me to come here and to preach. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I almost didn't take this trip because I thought he was going to make me preach at 11 o'clock. I was just going to send my family and not make this trip. Because if you have a licking bit of sense, and I'm not accusing you of having that, but if you do, Brother Vernon is dwelling in a rare place of the Lord right now. He just is. Zach, you see that. He's just in a rare place of God right now. He just gets in the pulpit to what God does, how God moves. Very few men of God anymore know how to get in that spot. I've listened to some of the old preachers of God. I've seen them. I've heard. I remember Bill Randall being in this spot. I think I've been there maybe once or twice, but he's there right now. And I coveted for my family to come and hear him preach. And I almost didn't take this trip because I thought he's going to make me preach, and I'm not going to preach for 11 o'clock service. Steve and Holly, one of the things I feared, maybe I've been here just too often, maybe I've just been here a little bit too much. I love for you to have been able to come to Black Creek, it just didn't work. But I thought maybe I've just been here too often. So I mean, maybe that's the case. Maybe it's just a fear there that I've been here too often. But I know one thing. You're at a place with the Lord now, and you're preaching. I don't know how long the Lord can do that. I watched not 5 minutes into your preaching, you almost have trouble. And I just prayed and I watched the Lord bring you right out of it. Thank God for that. His language is going to sing. Fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood. All their guilty sins.
The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in its day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Till all the rest.
I think I like better than anything out of blind Bartimaeus, and I'm done. Out of verse 46, the Bible said that he sat by the highway side begging. If you follow them other passages where it talks about him, it says he sat by the wayside. In this passage, it said he sat by the highway side. But if you'll just keep reading it, one of the best things about the whole passage, you get down there in verse number 52, when Jesus passed by, the Bible said, well, blind Bartimaeus got in the way.
Jesus said, I am the way. Amen, son.
I like it, man. I like the word of God. Amen. Amen. Not one thing wrong with that book, friend. No, just leave my Jesus alone. There ain't one jot, one tittle needs to be changed. I like Jesus just as he is. Amen. Amen, son. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank God, Lord, that you just allowed us to be in the way. Amen. Glad I'm in the Lord Jesus today, hit with Christ in God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this precious time. Thank you for the good song. Lord, I pray that you'd take these thoughts today and bless the hearts of the people in this congregation. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the food that we're about to eat. Lord, I pray that you'd bless those that's prepared it. And God bless it to our bodies and use us, Lord, for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.